Hey, this is Dave Hill. And before we even start this episode, I want to tell you that my brand new comedy album, The Pride of Cleveland, is out today, Friday, April 24th, on 800 Pound Gorilla Records. You can get it on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get digital, incredible comedy albums. So please go grab it, pick it up, make everyone you ever met do the same and otherwise, I'll turf you along. Let's just leave it at that. All right, here's the show. Hello, and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill. The Pride of Cleveland and beyond. With this whole shelter in place thing, I don't have all those great examples. Though I did once get a free mayonnaise pack from a stranger in a cargo van who was stopped at a stoplight.
Once.
So, and that was in just outside of Dayton.
Nice.
It's still in the courts.
Where exactly in Ohio are you staying right now? You don't have to say, I guess.
I can't say the city because I don't want, all it takes is one nut.
Yeah.
All it takes is one nut, Chris. If I've learned anything in this life. No, I have had people, I know this sounds like I am an egomaniac, which I am, but I have had people know where I am,
mm-hmm.
not you know when I'm not in New York.
Oh man!
And then be like, "Hey, I drove 500 miles. What's up?"
I think I scared you once, not that long ago, actually.
Not that long.
You were like in Montreal or something, and I think I just asked. I was like, just trying to find out when we were recording. I said, "Are you in Canada?" And you were like, "Yeah, are you here?" I was like, "No."
Oh, that didn't scare me.
Oh, okay. But how weird would that be if I just showed up in another country? It's like, hey.
That would be really very weird. So, okay, I just spaced out for a second. Just because I was trying to find this information.
Okay.
Anyway, but how are you doing, Chris?
Good. Started exercising every day. My wife been doing. I know. Didn't Adam Wade said he was doing Sweating to the Oldies on YouTube?
Yes, he's amazing. He was.
We've been doing the Billy Blanks Ty Bo video, which is great.
I feel like that. That might be. More effective than Sweating to the Oldies. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, hey, sounds like a better workout.
Billy Blanks. So yeah, I recommend anyone check that out. It's awesome. If they're looking
From what little I can see of you on the Zoom, you do look super ripped. So
thank you. Yeah, the abs.
Keep up the good work. So what else? Okay, so I've already, even at the top of this, told people to buy my comedy album, The Pride of Cleveland, which is out today. But I'm going to do it again. Everyone, please go, save it in your Apple Music, save it on Spotify, buy it on iTunes, Amazon, wherever. Please, I'm literally just shamelessly begging you. I'm banned from Twitter, as you know, so if you can tweet about it and tell other people to buy it, I'd be incredibly grateful. Or just talk about it, yell it out your window, put it on Facebook, Instagram, basically everywhere, ever. And don't forget to get the new Witch Taint album.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of albums that I'm begging people to buy, our guest today has a new comedy album coming out May 8th, and you can pre-order it now everywhere. He is Mike Kaplan, making his triumphant return to the show, and his album is called AKA, and it's on Blonde Medicine Records, a great label. And so there you go. There's another album you need to go get. So let's get into it. Mike is a hilarious guy, a wonderful man, and as discussed, he looks like he might be a doctor. And we get into all that and more. It went a little something like this. So now, here on Dave Hill's podcasting incident, making his triumphant return to the program, my friend, great comedian, a man who could be a surgeon based on looks alone, Mike Kaplan.
Thank you so much.
And Mike, I apologize. I know somewhere in my brain the name of your new album.
Oh, no, I'm happy to say it. It's AKA, just three letters. And it stands for a few different things. So that it's a show that I have been working on for several, since like 2016. And I brought it to Edinburgh in 2018. And it was called All Killing Aside. That was what I called it. So AKA, short for All Killing Aside.
Oh, yes.
In these times, with the album coming out during this worldwide pandemic full of suffering, uncertainty, and unfortunately, deaths, there's a lot of tragedy. And so we thought, like, the album itself, the material, what I talk about is certainly, it's anti-unnecessary suffering, it's anti-murder. Like, there's essentially... that's one of the main themes of it, is that I would rather get murdered than murder. If I had to choose, I would rather be the one who, if I'm involved in a murder, be the one who is murdered rather than the one who is committing a murder. So with all that murder talk and death talk, like, in context, I'm happy to tell people that, oh yeah, the show was called All Killing Aside. But without that context, if people just see, hey, look, a new album's out in these times, maybe I can forget about it, just try to escape, all killing aside now. Let's try to forget about all this misery. What do we have? So we're like, I talked to my mom. I was like, Mom, what do you think about, do you think the name All Killing Aside? She's like, I think you shouldn't have killing in the title. And she was like, what about All Kidding Aside? Could you do that? And I'm like, that does actually take a little bit out of the double meaning of what I was going for, but a good note, a good point. So we called it AKA, short for All Killing Aside, also short for, also known as, so it's an alias for the album's original name, an AKA, and it could stand for All Kidding Aside, if that's what my mom, it's whatever you wish it to be. So thank you for coming to my, now I've planned this out. My initials are MAK, Michael Adam Kaplan, and yes, the album is AKA, and this has been kind of an Ask Me Anything. So this has been my AKA, MAK, AMA. And thank you.
Wow, that's amazing. I like that, yes, you've given some thought to whether you would want to be murdered.
Oh, thank
you. Or do the murdering. I like that you've put that you've would you rathered yourself on that.
Well, for real, I mean, I do talk about it extensively, both comedically and sincerely in the album, and also just the topic kind of exists in life where, like, you know, on a country level, like, you know, most people individually, I think, fortunately, in this day and age, don't have to literally make that active decision, but we do kind of, with our choices, you know, with our tax dollars go to the military. The military does certain things that might be like, well, that country is going to potentially attack us, so we're going to attack. Like, so we are, you know, we, America, like, preemptively attacks people and innocent people lose their lives. And I'm like, I would rather that happen. Like, I don't know how much control I have over it, but certainly I have control over expressing it, of philosophically saying, like, in an ideal world, this is not my favorite, this is my favorite. And I do think, as we discussed when you were on my podcast, sometimes, like, saying things isn't everything, but you can, if saying something can often be the start of something, it can be a seed that plants the idea in other people's minds. It can be something that, it's not like you put something on your vision board and then you're like, and that's all I have to do. I wanna be in a band. And I just drew a picture of a band and then I sat in my room forever. But if you put it up there and you look at it every day and you're like, well, I gotta start learning an instrument. I gotta start writing songs. I gotta meet other people. And now I'm in a band, not because of the picture, not because of the thought, but sometimes, like, everything, I think I learned this from my friend, or I gleaned this from the art and wonderful comedy and images of Ramin Nazer. I feel like he shared with me the idea that, you know, everything, and, you know, he might not be the first, and maybe it wasn't even him, who can say, but the thing is, everything that exists, like everything that's certainly man-made or human-made or woman-made, person-made, non-binary-made, anything that's been constructed in the world at one point didn't exist at all, and then it was an idea. Somebody thought it, and then they said it, and then they maybe drew it, and then they built it or created it or did whatever they could. So saying something is like on the path to the powerful potential creation of something.
Yeah.
Which is all to say, thank you for your nice things that you said.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you're a man. We probably talked about this the last time you're on, but you, I have a category in my brain of comedians, and I'm certainly not in this category, clearly, as I try to articulate it, of comedians who have a remarkable grasp of the English language and like words and wordplay, like you. But you and Ben Kronberg jump out of my mind as like
sure
linguistic acrobats, and I feel like just in just normal conversation, you've proven it just now.
Well, I appreciate that, number one. And also, I don't think you're being down on yourself. You know, understand, like, you do what you do and I do what I do, and we can appreciate, like, it's, you know, one chef might make great Cajun food, another chef might make great sushi, and they're not competing with each other, and one doesn't have to do the other, or there could be Cajun sushi, who knows? But ooh, I also want to say, even right now, just the concept of a linguistic acrobat, like, that's a phrase that you created, you put together. Like, you didn't make those words, but you found those words from within the English language. You have them in your lexicon. And I think that the concept of linguistic acrobatics is really, it's resonant and beautiful and eponymous in a way, or like sort of self-referential, like it's like an example of itself, you know, like linguistic acrobatics is a kind of linguistically acrobatic phrase itself.
It is. Yeah. I guess I'll take credit for that.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's funny. I was doing, we were talking, on your podcast about my, you know, by this band Witch Taint and my character Lance, the King of Black Metal, and about 500 other things most people can't handle. Yes. He is ostensibly a much younger man who lives with his mother in Indiana, and as such, you know, speaks like that, speaks probably similarly to me, but not quite. But I was doing an interview the other day as Lance, and I use the word, I know I use the word tertiary, and then I use the word tertiary, and then I use the word semantics at one point. And the sure. These two guys, it was like some heavy metal podcast, and they were like, can we just stop? Like, we have been doing this a long time, and no one has ever used the words tertiary or semantics on the show. And I was like, really? I was like, tertiary. I mean, I feel like any touring performer has to know tertiary, because, you know, that's when you're tertiary markets.
Perhaps there are some people, if they're performing only in tertiary markets, they're just like, we're performing in these places, but
shitholes or whatever. Yeah, I guess they don't say tertiary market.
It's like that old Mitch Hedberg joke where he like bumps into, or a guy bumps into him who had like a bunch of piercings and maybe tattoos and stuff on his head. And Mitch says, like, the guy says to him, Mitch, you got a lot of nerve. And Mitch says to him, you got a lot of cranial accessories. And then he says to the audience, like, you're a good audience. Like, sometimes people need me to, sometimes I have to be like, you got a lot of shit on your face. So tertiary market shithole. It's, we're all on, you know, we all have our path, our lane. And I also do want to just say that the way that I speak when I'm doing comedy or just when I'm speaking in life is certainly when I was starting out doing comedy, I was in my early to mid 20s and hadn't had as much, like some people have a lot of life experience up to that point. And, you know, I'd lived a certain amount and I'd had experiences, but I would say I hadn't lived as widely and deeply as I would come to, or certainly as many other people have and will. And so this is all to say, all I had was how I said things. And because I was like, what can I say? Like I didn't know that I had quote unquote nothing to say, but I'm gonna say the hell out of that nothing. Like I'm gonna write a beautiful song. Like, look at this instrumentation. Like, what are the lyrics? Oh, don't even worry about lyrics. Like, that was, I feel like my comedy initially was not contentless, but, you know, more about potentially the form than the function, you know, the shape than the meaning. Like, and the meaning was also to create joy, to find fun and humor in my experience, which as limited as it was, or, you know, not as unlimited as it was, because everyone has access to, you know, sort of the same external world, if not the same internal experiences. But I do feel like throughout the course of, you know, the last almost 18 years now that I've been doing comedy, like I've had greater life experience. And I'm like, oh, it's great to have things to talk about in addition to just, you know, being, I was like, I've always been good at talking. And what are you saying? Ooh, that's a, let's not get into that. So it's nice to find that I am at least having more and more things, like, you know, they say that thing, I don't know if it's like comics say funny things and comedians say things funny or whatever, like some people say funny things and some people say things funny. And ultimately my goal is to say funny things funny.
The
Venn diagram overlap, that sweet spot, as opposed to not. Certainly, I'm not going to not say things. I'm going to say things, and I hope they're funny things. And if they're not funny things, I hope they're at least funny saying things.
Yeah.
I ran out at the end there. That.
That's sort of like, that's interesting, because I know this is not exactly what you meant, but it had me thinking about like the difference of delivery and when, you know, there's yellers. And there's some insanely funny yellers, but
oh yeah, old yeller, not
old
as funny,
yeller,
but as some, yeah.
But you know, people when they comedians who, I get really anxious when people start yelling in general.
Even like Lewis Black would make you nervous.
With him, I would expect it. But if I'm not expecting it, or if I'm not familiar with a comedian. Or maybe they're a comedian that I am familiar with and I've seen them yell and sometimes they don't yell. I generally prefer it when they don't yell, unless it's like, cause I kind of like, yeah, I tend to like, stuff that, doesn't require the yelling to sell it.
I have two. Yeah, you don't need to yell to sell the Dave Hill story. Here's, I think, two things that I have to say about this: one about me, and one about you. I'll do me first, and I'll close this two-item segment with you. In high school, my parents had moved like right around the beginning of high school. So it was a bunch of kids that I didn't know. And I was much more introverted. I was shy. I wasn't really comfortable in my own skin. I wasn't comfortable in anybody's skin. I was only in mine, but I'm only really comfortable in somebody else's skin. But I remember there were some kids in my high school who were like nice. And I was like, okay, that's good. I was still like, I was a little like nervous and tentative. But if they were nice all the time, I'm like, oh, a nice person. Then there were some people that were like kind of mean all the time. And that was also at least consistent and like, okay, well, that's them. I'll try to avoid them or know that that's what you're going to get. But then there were some people that were like changeable. That'd be like nice sometimes, like cool. And then later they'd be mean and you'd be like, hey, like, I don't, what, why did you? And it was confusing because like I wanted some sense of like, at least if I guess I'll use the word consistency again. So like you want to know what you're going to get. And I was like, oh, this is a wild card. Is this person going to make me feel bad? Or, and so it feels worse to not know sometimes. So that I liken that to if you're like, if you yell all the time, like Lewis Black, you know what you're going to get. You can get your earplugs. You can stand far away. You can not listen. You can know that that's what he's going to do because he's a known quantity. If somebody's not yelling, you're like, great, not yelling. But if you don't know whether they're going to yell, you're like, oh God, is it, what do I do? How do I, alter my expectations? So I could understand the way that could be the most confounding. And that's not even the thing about you. It turned out to be the thing about me was also about you. But when you say like, your preference is like, if you have the choice, you're not telling anybody how to do their job, how to create their art, how to do their comedy or to live their lives. You are, but you're like, if it was my pref, if it was up to me, like I would prefer that somebody not yell to yell. And in my understanding of who you are as a comedian, from what I've seen of you as a person, I've seen you for years. I've known you and loved your comedy. You're a soft-spoken Likewise. Man. You're Likewise. A quiet, gentle force of comedy. Like you can make the audience laugh as much as any yeller with less. It's like you're doing more with less. And so I can understand when you're like, hey, you don't need to yell. It's you, when you say you like people who don't yell, you secretly, or maybe not so secretly, you like yourself. And that's nice.
That's amazing. Well, thank you. That's, I've never thought of it like that, but that's nice to hear. But yeah. But then, you know, obviously, I know some amazing quieter comedians, and I know some extremely loud, amazing comedians. But I also have seen people yelling who aren't saying anything, as we all have. Yeah.
That's, and here's, I guess, I'll offer this additionally. Number one, I feel like we're both musicians as well as comedians. And mm-hmm. as a musician, I mean, you play, you know, heavy metal. Your ears must be something that you think about. Like, I don't know if you use, like, earplugs or if there's a certain way that you care for them. But, like, yelling, like, when you're like, when I'm working, when I can't avoid the noise, like I understand it's a known quantity. When I can avoid it, be like, oh, a surprise yeller, you know, that can hurt part of your delicate machinery.
Oh yeah, it is, you know, and I think I have, you know, cause I have been playing loud music since I was a teenager and I, you know, so I do think I have some damage and I've tried to protect it, you know, since I started, but I think I definitely have to have done some damage and there I do. And I wouldn't have had to do any damage to this next thing, but I a big thing, I hate loud restaurants. I basically just hate loud anything. And I hate when you go to a restaurant and they're like cranking music and it's hard to talk.
That makes sense because you like to talk and be heard and be understood. And if a comedian is if a comedian's loud and funny, if a comedian's funny, then if they're being themselves, then it makes sense that however that comedic force is flowing as the universe through them and manifesting as loudness or softness, if it's funny, it's funny. But I could definitely understand if there's an unfunny loud comedian and an unfunny soft comedian, I'd rather hear the unfunny soft comedian.
Yeah, exactly. But it's, yeah, but my trick at restaurants, and I'm still lying, so I should have started this lie a long time ago.
Oh, sure.
Is I just say, oh, you know what, is there any way you could turn the music down? Like, I have really bad tinnitus, and it's just, I can't be around music this loud. And I always wait till after we've ordered, so they can't say to leave. And sometimes there was one restaurant I had just come back from doing stand up in Europe, and I was genuinely exhausted. And we went, my girlfriend and I went to this restaurant, and it was just bustling, loud. And we sat down, and I was just like, I was jet lagged, literally just got landed, and we went to dinner. And I was just like, oh man, I'm really sorry. Like, we got up to leave, and the host was like, why are you? And I was like, I explained in a shorter version of just what I just said. And he was kind enough. He's like, oh, we own the restaurant around the corner. Can we put you at a table there? Cause it's like a quieter place. And I was like, yeah. And it's a restaurant that's really hard to get a table at. So I was like, oh wow. Me complaining we got an upgrade. But what was I gonna say? Oh God, now I can't remember. There's comedians, and I won't name them, and the comedians I love as comedians and as people, but because of my hearing, there are comedians when they go on stage, if I can't, a lot of times I'll just stuff my ears because I know it's going to get really loud and it's painful to me. And I don't want to say who those people are, but because they're people I'm a fan of their work, but I physically can't handle hearing it without earplugs.
You can't handle this comedy.
Hi, I'm Renee Colbert.
I'm Alexis Preston.
And we're the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Can I Pet Your Dog? Now, Alexis.
Yes.
We got big news.
Uh-oh.
Since last we did a promo, our dogs have become famous.
World famous.
World, like...
stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Second big news.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews are in.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself to Apple Podcasts. You know what you're going to hear? We're happy.
It's true.
We're a delight, a great distraction from the world.
I like that part a lot.
So if that's what you guys are looking for, you got to check out our show. But what else can they expect?
We've got dog tech, dog news, celebrities with their dogs, all dog things.
All the dog things. So if that interests you, well, get yourself on over to Maximum Fun every Tuesday.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
And they are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for that.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
I know.
The end of the show will just be 5 minutes of Biz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played. So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is funny that you you do have a heavy metal band, and you're also like, I can't, this talking is a bit much for me, but, it's your body. It makes sense.
Yeah. I'm just always about, well, and it's also just like part of the reason I love the UK a lot is because just people are so much quieter. They're just generally, there's plenty of, the hooligans and all that, soccer hooligans and plenty of loud people. But I love, I remember, I've probably told this story, if not on this podcast, five others, but I remember a few years ago doing a show. It was like me, Rich Fulcher, Dr. Brown, and Sam Simmons from Australia.
I love those clowns, right? Like, I feel like Dr. Brown a clown.
Yeah, he's a clown, and Sam is in his own category.
Yeah, I've seen those guys. They're so funny and weird and great.
Oh, totally! All three of those guys are among my favorites, and it was not that I think I'm the craziest out there, most inventive guy by any stretch, but I remember.
No, you are. You're more out there than the. I'm like your mother now. You can be out there as you want to be. If they're out there, who says that my son isn't as out there as Dr. Brown?
But just in general, what I do, I think it's not mainstream or whatever, but it's not Dr. Brown. And but I remember the show, and I still haven't gotten to my point. But I remember thinking like, oh, wow, it would be rare that I would be the I don't think I've ever been the most mainstream comedian on a show before.
Please welcome Dave Hill, a normal guy and a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, I was like, that's the closest it's come. And but the thing I was going to say is, you know, we're doing, it's like a, you know, a venue in the back of a pub that holds, you know, a couple hundred people or whatever. And so I went out and I was like waiting for them to open the doors. And I was just kind of like looking at the crowd, and there's like a couple hundred people waiting to get in. And it's just absolutely quiet because it's a bunch of English people. And they're just like, what? I think they're going to open the doors, you know? And I was like, just laughing to myself, because I was like, if 200 Americans were waiting to get into anywhere and they were just waiting, it would be so loud, because they would just, and they're drinking. So, they would just be like, anyway. So my final volume point, this is like the volume episode.
Ooh, this is the final volume of your chapter on volumes.
Yes, exactly. And I apologize. The listener may not be aware of this, but Mike and I are doing back-to-back. I just did his podcast, and now he's doing my podcast, which is a super fun way to do it. But I think results in me being an even worse host because I have these moments where I was like, wait a minute, am I a guest or am I the host? I can't remember. And but I was going to say, as my final comment on volume is, being out in at this bar in London a few years ago with my buddy Carl Ironhider, who is an American comedian. And we were with these English people, some friends, and then this friend of a friend. And this one woman was just like, I was just thinking, I was like, I don't like her and I can't figure out why. And she's not saying anything that's bothering me. And then at one point she said, oh, people always say, like, I remind them of an American because I talk so loud. And I was like, that's it. That's why I don't like you. You're really loud. And she wasn't that loud. She was just an American level of loud, but she's in a, it was like in one of those drinking, not, it wasn't a, I don't know what it was, but it was, I was like, oh, she's just talking at an American volume and no one else is doing that, because I'm a little quiet, my friend Carl's a little quiet. Anyway, I hope to tell that story on The Moth. Of my volume stories, it was probably the weakest one. That's on my running gag. Whenever I or someone else has told a bad story, I tell them they should tell it on The Moth, which is not me making fun of The Moth. It's just me. I know it's the biggest storytelling show. So
no, I understand. But
punchline.
The Moth is not required to have stories that end in gigantic, you know, like fireworks displays. Like,
exactly.
Like you want a story to go on your podcast. I understand. Right. Also, a moth flapping its wings is pretty quiet as well. Fit right in with the British aesthetic. I think, you have a British aesthetic to you. It makes sense. And maybe it is just that you're quiet. That could be.
Well, I'm British by blood and you know, by probably a lot of my clothes.
Ah, I guess. British by bloody. You say that as well.
I don't say bloody. This is maybe not interesting to me, but I try to be full Cleveland in my language. Like, I won't even, you know, we live in New York, and you're from Massachusetts?
New Jersey is where I grew up, and then I went to college and started my adult life in Massachusetts.
Okay, that's why
that's where I started doing comedy and such, lived there for 12 years.
But, you know, there's things of, like here in Cleveland, in Ohio, Midwest, we say pop, like if you're going to buy a bunch, if you're going to, like, we really don't say pop that often. It's like, because you usually just say, do you want a Coke or do you want 7-Up or whatever?
Sure.
And you say pop if you're like going to go to the grocery store and buy a variety of soft drinks. You say, I'm going to buy some pop. And then, you know, in New York, people say, do you want a soda? Like, and I can't bring myself to say, do that. Like, I feel like I'm turning my back on my
hometown loyalty. I get it. I respect that. I don't know if this is a joke, but I intend it to be at least joke-like. But where I grew up, we also said pop for what we do to corn when we want it to be an enjoyable movie snack, you know? I think that everyone does that. I don't know why I'm making it sound like this. But I also realized I have two last volume-related items. I hope it's not too late to reopen, to have a sequel. But
please.
You mentioned tinnitus. I hope that you never... that you don't manifest that in the by telling all these restaurant owners that you have it. That
oh
eventually...
yeah, that would be the cruel joke, wouldn't it?
But then you could, I think, start a late night show called The Tinnitus Show with Dave Hill. The joke there is that it sounds like The Tonight Show. And now I offer this sincere, like I talk loudly for sure. I had an experience
like,
in college.
You project a reasonable amount. I mean, I realize at times I am too quiet and people get mad. Like if we're just, you know, I think there's a few people like Todd Berry, who's a good friend of mine. Dare I say one of my besties.
Do you think but, that you know, you're so close because of the you speak at the exact same volume?
Yeah. We both are very quiet guys. So we both kind of like us, no one would ever overhear what we're talking about.
A lot of secrets.
Yeah. And it's funny, Jim Gaffigan, I think right when I was starting, he said to me, he's like, you know, you, Todd Berry and I should all do a tour together. Cause we're all, though he's, I feel like Jim has more volume range than me and Todd.
The whisperings of comedy. That's great.
Come a little closer tour.
That's what a great name for a tour. That would be super. And there could be like VIP seats right up front. You gotta either get there early or pay a little extra if you wanna, you know, get into the whisper zone. You want like the opposite of the splash zone. It's like, you know, the anti, you know, Gallagher does what he does and I'm glad for it. But you're not going to be splattering anybody with watermelon spit or sound.
No time soon.
If everybody could get headphones, like one of those like silent rave type things.
Oh gosh. That disturbs me. I don't like, I've never taken part in it, but I've seen them happen. And
I'm now really interested in like doing a comedy show where everyone has headphones. And then I'm just like talking at this volume directly into the microphone. And then like you still get this people laughing, but they don't get to hear anyone else laughing. Actually, that might be a horrible thing. But if I may, I feel like I think about my volume more for at least two reasons. One is my girlfriend is a highly sensitive person to all kinds of stimuli, sights, sounds, and pretty much, I think, all the senses. And, you know, just those two, that's all of them. And so sometimes, like, if I'm excited, and if she is in a particularly, you know, sensitive state, like she might just put her hand on my arm and I'll be like, oh, I can self-regulate, but sometimes when I don't think about it, the regulation train goes a little off the tracks. But back in when I was in college, like about 20 years ago, maybe a little more, I was on the T, the public transportation train system in Boston where I was in school.
Yeah.
And it was a packed crowd. I was out with a bunch of friends and we were on the train. It was just packed. We're all like squeezed in and we're all talking. And then a friend of mine taps me on the shoulder and I'm like, what is it? And he's like, a guy over there is trying to get your attention. Like, and so like a guy, you know, half the car length away, I was like, what is it? And he's like, shut up to me. Speaking amongst my friends, amongst a crowded, loud train car, which at the time I was like, well, that's rude. That's mean. Why is that guy being? And I do still think it was a little like rude or mean, but I also now understand. I'm like, I must have been very loud.
That's funny. Well, I'm sure what I'm about to tell you does not apply, because I'm sure you were saying something interesting.
Oh,
but
sure.
If I can do some name dropping, some more name dropping.
Please.
One of my dear friends, the legendary talk show host Dick Cavett, there you go. He told me this story once about being on like the Jitney to the Hamptons or something, because he has had a place out there. And
a Jitney, is that a tiny vehicle of a kind?
It's not really. It's like they call it a Jitney, but it's actually like a luxury tour bus that takes people out. You ride in as comfortable as you can be on a bus with strangers. You ride out there. And
gotcha.
And so he was on it, and he said someone was talking really loud on their cell phone. So he said, can you please be either quiet or more interesting? And people, he said it went over big with everyone, except for the person on the phone, of course. But I wouldn't have the balls to say that to anybody, I don't think. But my girlfriend...
Was he famous at the time, or was he just a human mortal?
No, this is like in the last couple of years.
Oh, recent.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and my girlfriend has since she's used it. She loved it, and she's done it to people. And
it is funny. No. And it also is, you know, it has an edge to it. So I think I would worry about using it, because I worry that if I, sometimes, you know, if you're ever like joking around with comedians, there's like a quote unquote ball busting kind of, you know, it's not my favorite term, but that attitude in a group of often, let's say, guy comedians, I think are more likely to be assholes to each other. And
yeah,
I don't mean to say, I think people of all genders can be assholes, 100%. Like anyone can be as much of an asshole. I don't mean to say that like the glass hole ceiling is broken and busted and anyone's through it that wants to be. But I've been around a lot of asshole guys, and there's like, you know, hey, this guy, your mom, and this, you know, like whatever it is. And I feel like every once in a while, it's not my favorite thing to do, but I'll be like, okay, I'll play along. And then I'll just say something that is legitimately hurtful, because I'm like, oh, I thought that's what we were doing. And I was like, oh, I thought, wasn't everyone? No. Oh, okay. But that's why I'm like, I'm just going to if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, unless you're positive that it's a hilarious joke like Dick Cavett, you know, that's my fullest extension of that. I'm just like, I'll err on the side of saying nice and true things when I can, and be sincere. Just in case I said a mean, because sometimes saying a mean true thing is the most like, oh, was it funny also? And they're like, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like maybe I just didn't, I didn't have siblings growing up. I didn't have like, you know, a tight knit group of guy friends as a kid. So perhaps I didn't learn. I didn't learn how to be play mean. So I only have two settings. I'm like a nice person, or I tell you a sad, horrible, hurtful truth about yourself. So I do that very infrequently. That's my goal, to not do that at all. I'll just turn that one down as much as I can and amplify the other.
I think that's a better way to be. I want to be around that. I don't want to be around the ball buster, as you say. And who is putting out your album?
It's Blonde Medicine is the...
Oh, we've talked about this, Dominic.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Dominic Del Bene is a delightful
great
human
guy.
Friend and album producer. So yeah, it's all the album is all the places, but yeah, if you go to blondemedicine.com/AKA, that is a route to get a physical copy, the Apple Music version, the Spotify, whatever it is, you can get it at your one-stop Blonde Medicine shop.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for coming on the show again. We'll have to have you back for yet another triumphant return. And everyone, please, I'll plug you the album again in the outro, but I'll do it now also.
In the outro and the outro. Yeah.
Get Mike Kaplan's album, a.k.a. on Blonde Medicine Records. And when is it out again? It's in
May 8th is the official release and available for pre-order now.
Okay, so get on it, everybody. You know what to do. And I'll give the same marching orders again in the outro.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Oh, it's been and continues to be a pleasure.
And hopefully we'll see each other in a healthy near future.
In life soon.
Yes. And there you have it, my delightful conversation with Mike Kaplan. Go get his album, AKA, which is out May 8th on Blonde Medicine Records. You can pre-order it now. And speaking of albums, I'm going to say it again. My brand new comedy album featuring me telling jokes, stories, and ripping sweet guitar solos. Oh, and also berating my backing band for no apparent reason throughout. It's out now. It came out today on 800 Pound Gorilla Records. Please, please make everyone you've ever met buy it, or I'll key everyone's car. So there. And get the new Witch Jane album, of course, because if you're not listening to my comedy album, you should be listening to the Witch Jane album. And also, I know times are tough for everybody, but I'm still going to say, if you want to support us on Patreon, so we can keep the hot podcasting action coming, and also buy food and stuff during this crazy fucking time we're having on planet Earth.
We still have on Patreon. We still have patches.
T-shirts, patches.
That I can't ship until it's safe to go outside, but...
Yeah. So, all that stuff. Patreon.com/DaveHill. And for a dollar a month, or if you want to spend more, there's all sorts of great stuff coming your way. So that about wraps it up. Chris, do you have anything you want to put out there into the world?
Nah, I got nothing going on.
Don't say that. You're getting ripped, and that's important.
Getting ripped, yeah.
All right, I'm going to say it one more time. Go buy my album, The Pride of Cleveland. And get Mike Kaplan's album and the Witch Jane album. Those are three albums. Get them all, or I'll freak out. Okay. Until next time, watch your backs, watch your rooftops, and oh my gosh, wash your hands.
I was just like you, consumed with matters of darkness. Now I have a family and a very, very nice apartment. Rules for garbage removal. No one can
Listen to what I'm telling to you before it's too late.
Fine.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.